The following program may contain music-related fun and laughs for all ages. Listening is advised. Wake up, world. It's time for Big JD and Lippo in the morning. And here they are, your hosts, Big JD and Lippo.
Yes, hello and welcome to Big JD and Lippo in the morning.
I am Lippo.
And I'm Big JD.
How are we doing today, Big J? Sounding a bit subdued.
Subdued?
Yeah.
No? Let me pick it up a notch.
There we go. Turn it on.
Back.
You're drinking some cafe.
I am, but it's decaf.
Oh, what's the deal with that? Too many...
Too much caffeine. I've already had my caffeine fill for the morning.
I was going to say not for the day.
Well, it is for the day. Actually, it lasts pretty long.
Does it?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
A good dose?
Yep.
That's awesome.
Dabble do ya. What's that?
A dabble
Something
do ya.
From a movie.
No.
I don't know, it's but it's a...
Dippity-doo.
Is it?
I believe so.
Wow. That's old.
Yeah, it's stuff that...
I think they might still make that, though.
I think so. Stuff that holds your hair in place.
But I recall Jack Nicholson saying something like that.
A dabble, do you?
Yeah. A little dabble, do you? Something.
Okay.
He said it in a movie, I think.
And he was copying the commercial. What is that?
I don't know, but we should do... we can't do a show on that because it's music-based. You know, people that like do stuff like that make noises and, you know...
Twitches. Did I tell you about that guy?
I don't know. I think you... Something, maybe, that comes to mind now. What? What guy?
It was Todd Grondin who told me about this guy who he's has these stories, but he knows a guy who's like that, who's always on.
Hey, how you doing?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And
yeah,
we're going to do this. And he always makes those noises.
Wow. That'd be beautiful to see.
But hard to take for a long period of time.
How do we find him?
What, you want to do an interview with him?
Well, no, but I want to meet him.
I haven't met him. I've only heard about him. But
you should meet him.
But I know that I have seen people like that in my lifetime that are just like, whoa, he's on. Like,
yeah, yeah. Yeah, there are people like that.
That they just, it's the...
Yeah, they got like a really hyper personality, I guess.
And right, and they feel like they're on stage the whole time. And this is, it's a show for them all day long.
Yeah.
And they're on.
Yeah. And there's a lot of people like that just naturally, too, that not necessarily like a show, but they're just like... They go and go and go as if you could, you know what I mean? They just, it's the gift of gab or something, you know what I mean? They just keep going and going and going.
And it makes you wonder if that's really them. Like, is that their real personality or they just can't turn off what that is? Because that's not a real person. Not someone you can actually, you know.
Well, I think that's probably really them, but it's, and I don't really think it's something they can turn off, but it's something that's like probably not like, I mean, it's natural for them, but not really natural for
right. When you a think, person, when really. You have thoughts in your head, like you're thinking about, you know, your parents,
there's or just your keep kids. Coming out. Yeah,
and you got to have some kind of sober thought. But these people don't have any like sober thoughts. Yeah, it's just all yeah. Yay! Just,
everything's out, comes out.
100 miles an hour all the time. Life in the fast lane.
And in the news, Jeff Beck cancels a tour for emergency medical reasons. Jeff Beck has canceled his European summer tour dates after seeking immediate medical attention, which will see the guitarist undergo an unidentified hospital procedure requiring 6 weeks of rest. Wow. He's a little old for circumcision, though.
I think he is circumcised.
Oh. Is he Hebrew?
Is he Hebrew? Jeff Beck. No, he's Anglo-Saxon as they get, I think.
I think so.
Yeah. But what do you think? What, 6 weeks, what does that say? He broke a... No.
No, if it's unidentified, I'm sure it's something that's... You know what I mean? I mean, something that they don't want to say, probably, you know? Which I don't really know why they wouldn't want to say it, unless it was too... I mean, the cat's going to get out of the bag if it's something bad. Like, everybody, you know what I mean? Iomi, cancer, like, whatever, you know? Everybody knows, like... So, right. You know, unless it's something like, you know, some kind of venereal disease or something that
he had to get into that these days.
Is something cut off or something?
No, I don't think it's sexually related.
Well, I'm just
related.
Saying, yeah, well. But it's, why wouldn't they want to say, you know what I mean?
Right, and it's something that they feel that in 6 weeks, he's going to be better.
Yeah.
So what's that? That's what makes me think, you know, it's not cancer.
Until there's a relapse. Well, it could be anything. I mean, it could be some kind of a growth or cancerous thing, and they'll cut it out, and 6 weeks he'll be fine, and whatever, you know what
sure.
I mean?
But could be a million things.
But he's up there, right?
He's up there?
He's
in the guitar now, god so. Hall, well, yes, he's up there.
There and age, I think he's, you know.
60-something.
Yeah, well, that's long overdue for 6 weeks of recovery surgery.
Sure, yeah, and he may have had other things happen to him, because he kind of just, I don't know, there was a mid part in his life where he just kind of just...
Well, he was in a car accident at one time, but that was a long time ago, right?
A long time ago, yeah. But he fixes cars. Oh, that's his hobby. He's into cars. And that was just before the Guitar Shop album, which was Tony Bazzio, and I forget who was on bass.
Was there something wrong with Beck after his car accident? Did he get a plate in his head or something? Seriously, I want to...
I don't know.
I think that something like that happened.
Not a plate in his head.
No?
Okay. I don't think so.
I don't know.
I think we might have heard about that, but...
What else have we got in the news this week on The Morning Show?
Well, you're talking about Iommi and cancer, and I think we even mentioned this, but Vivian Campbell of Def Leppard, and a lot of other things.
Mm-hmm. Thin Lizzy. I saw him in Thin Lizzy, actually.
Dio.
Detroit, yeah. Dio, yeah.
And another really, really popular band, not besides Def Leppard, though.
Oh, really?
Whitesnake.
Oh, yeah.
Says he's not sure if his cancer has returned or it was never completely gone, but he is now back under medical care to treat the Hodgkin's lymphoma that he first revealed he had last summer. By November, Campbell had said that the cancer was in remission, a statement which unfortunately may have not been true. You know, you get optimistic, right? So, within a couple months, a regular checkup showed that the cancer was returning and doctors went about putting together a plan of attack. So, he's still fighting a good fight.
That's all you can do, man, is either fight it or not fight it.
So what happens when you don't fight it? It just takes
over.
Just
let it take its course, yeah, and you
live the painful, excruciating way that you may end up dying.
It may be painful, yeah, but you just take medication to, yeah.
Die a morphine
death. It's
going to
get you one way or another, probably. I don't know. It's not that many people, really, that I don't think that, you know, goes into remission and they're good for years and years and years later. I don't know. It always seems to come back.
For a lot of people,
I wonder what the percentage is, like the statistics on
right. That. So there's some research got to do. Does Jeff Beck have a plate in his head? And what's the stats?
Moving
for
right along.
Cancer remission. Let's play some music. This is the Stones from their Goat's Head Soup. Can you hear the music?
And why are we playing music-related songs today? Because the show is on...
The importance of music.
The importance of music and even more specifically, anhedonia.
And we'll get into the definition of anhedonia right after we hear some Stones.
Magic.
little bit of flautist there. That's, I believe that's Brian Jones playing flute, is it not? Or no, he's dead at this point. Yeah, this is Mick Taylor's in this album, if I'm not mistaken.
Did Mick Taylor play the flute too?
Not that I know of, no. I just watched some Stones from a recent show. I guess they played Madrid. And Mick's touring with them, you know that?
I think I saw something about that.
Yeah.
But not the not the drummer, right? Mick Jagger. No, what was it, Wyman?
Yeah, Bill Wyman's been gone for, I don't know, 20 years.
But he's
now
not back or anything? Like, what's that guy do now, I wonder? Just living off the fat of the land.
Yeah, I think
enjoying himself, I guess.
Yeah, I think he's in a jazz band. Yeah, I think he still jams and, you know.
Does he put out any records?
No, I don't think so. Put out his book. Put out
records? His book? Oh, yeah, okay.
Yeah, what about records? Does anybody put out records? Yeah, yeah. It seems like every band's putting out vinyl, vinyl version.
Vinyl's kind of back, but...
Kind of back.
Yeah, I don't think it's going to be back like anything at all like it was.
Yeah, you kind of got to have a setup for vinyl, right?
You do, yeah.
And that setup's got to take up a certain section of your
house. And I don't
think
that setup's cheap anymore either. Now to get a nice setup.
Yeah, I kind of looked into it a couple weeks ago, actually, just to see what
to go somewhere and get an old turntable with the speakers that pop up and pull off is okay.
Nah.
You can find that somewhere.
Why bother?
Retro style.
Yeah, that's no...
I don't know, that's old school.
I know,
it's old school. Depends on the kind of record you're listening to.
Yeah, if you're going to get vinyl, it's because you want to recapture that warmth and sound.
You want to have a good system. I think the USB thing is the way to go, probably, maybe. No? If you got a good setup of speakers or something like that? Have a USB turntable?
Usually the USB turntables do not have belt drives, and that's what you want. If you want a good...
What kind of drive do they have? It's just a direct drive?
A direct drive, yeah.
Okay, yeah.
So, whatever they call that, you know. So the speed is constant all the time.
Coming to you from the Windsor, Detroit area and podcast worldwide, you're listening to Big JD and Lippo in the Morning.
Let's stay in that rat hole for a second, because you were just talking about looking into getting a turntable or something.
Yes,
right?
I was.
But I know you got one of those retro turntables not that long ago or something, too.
Yep. Yeah. And okay. It was it USB? No, I had to go out left and right RCA.
Okay.
And you also have to have a phono preamp as well, because most systems don't have phono
There's no amplification for them. It's got to go through a stereo system
preamp,
or something.
Yeah. Actually, it's the preamp that you got to have. It's got to be a certain amount of amperage that's going into your receiver or whatever else you're powering your speakers with.
Yeah, I mean, they need something to listen to. I mean, you can't plug headphones into a turntable unless somehow it's powered. Yeah, I'm sure they make that, but
yeah, I'm sure they do too.
Not the normal ones, but yeah, it's pretty interesting. And some more music: "Pain and Pleasure" from Judas Priest's "Screaming for Vengeance" CD.
Seems like trauma patrol.
I remember many a night crashing to Judas Priest albums.
Screaming for Vengeance. That was sometimes. That was the last Judas Priest show that I saw, and that was at Cobo.
Oh, you saw that? Yeah, nice. Who did they play with? I had tickets to a Priest show, Priest and Iron Maiden, but that, never made it.
That was it.
Did you?
It was. Well, I don't know if they played.
I still have my full ticket without the thing ripped off.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah.
Yeah. It was. I'm pretty sure it was Iron Maiden, and there was another opening band from around the Detroit area. I think it was Wicked Angel or something like that.
No, it wasn't us. That's for sure. Because I didn't make it to see them, so I certainly didn't make it to play.
No.
And this week's show, Music Anhedonia. Which is not being able actually to derive pleasure from music. Anhedonia is, its meaning is the inability to experience pleasure from activities usually found enjoyable, like exercise, hobbies, and of course music, sexual activities, or social interactions. That's anhedonia.
And this is due to the fact that your body cannot produce dopamine? Is that what it is? Because I know that dopamine is...
Is that what it is? No, I have no idea if that's actually why, but we do have some information on it, some studies and whatnot. But anhedonia can be a characteristic of mental disorders, including mood disorders. Is it dopamine that has anything to do with mood?
Well, if you can't produce dopamine, you tend to not, your moods don't switch or sway too much.
Okay. And so how about schizoaffective disorder? That's one characteristic of a mental disorder that can lead to anhedonia, schizoid personality disorder, and schizophrenia. For example, people affected with schizophrenia often describe themselves as feeling emotionally empty.
There you go. So
seems like a wide spectrum, sort of, right? But music anhedonia, that's sort of odd. And we'll be talking to somebody a little bit later in the show on the You Talking to Me segment that actually had music anhedonia.
Wow, and they got cured?
They did get cured.
All right. I can't wait to find out how
that
happened.
And it was an interesting cure. So that's it's a kind of a pretty cool story. But now some more music. And this is Good Times Music.
Which is Dio's, not first band, but one of his earlier recording bands, Elf.
Mm-hmm. I think, he was in a few things like really early on, I guess, that never really did anything. But one of them was, I can't remember the name, the Something Elves.
Oh, really?
Yeah, and they actually recorded some stuff, and then it was went to Elf or whatever. But, a very cool band. If you can find the CDs and whatnot, they're really, really cool.
Yeah, lots of early Dio stuff. It shows his non-metal side, even though he kind of personifies metal almost. It's like something mm-hmm. he was born for, and that he just kind of, there was these shoes to fill, and he filled them, and he just never stopped from that point on once he started rocking out. But this is kind of a more soulful kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And he definitely has a soulful voice.
It was a lot earlier than his time in metal. So, yeah. It's
anyway, this different. Is Good Times Music from Elf.
Thank you.
And kind of keeping in with today's theme of music anhedonia, pleasure and pain and whatnot, or not pain, I guess, from painful music.
I don't know.
Some things could be painful to listen to, but that's Steve Jones, Pleasure and Pain, from his first solo effort.
And Steve Jones is? Cool.
Steve Jones was from the Sex Pistols. And
this is his first solo thing after Pistols, yeah.
Solo record, yeah. He had done some other things like Checkered Past. I think it was called Checkered Past, and some other stuff. Things he had done, but his actual first solo album that I know of was this. And he put out a couple, and the second one had Suffragette City on it. It's pretty cool.
Good cover.
I want to say it was a bonus track too. I don't think it was on all the releases of it. But when we come back, more on Music Anhedonia.
Coming to you from the Windsor, Detroit area and podcast worldwide, you're listening to Big JD and Lippo in the Morning.
Okay, we're back.
The way that we set up this episode this week from last week was the importance of music to people and why some people, it's like they have to wake up and they have to turn on some music, or if you're a musician, you get up and you just feel the urge to play. You know, music really has to be a part of your life.
Mm-hmm.
How did you feel at an early age? What part did music play in your life?
I think we've talked about this before, and I don't really know, except that my dad played guitar, and there was, you know, a guitar around since I was born, and it was just like, I guess, a natural progression for me. I've always liked music. You know what I mean?
You felt like I really want to listen to, like,
I guess I just connected with it. And we always had stuff around, like, for recording and everything, you know what I mean? So we were always taping, so, like, reel to reel and the guitar, and my dad always bought pianos and keyboards and things. And
so there was always music being played in your house.
Pretty much, yeah. It was just, yeah.
Same with me. But it wasn't necessarily cool music if my parents were listening to music.
Well, true. I mean, ours was, we grew up listening to my parents had Beatles records, and we had Monkees and Johnny Cash and Elvis and all that stuff, which was cool stuff for sure.
For sure, yeah.
It wasn't really bad. I mean, I had, I remember my uncle always giving me albums to transfer to cassette for him, and they were all Mario Lanza all the time, pretty much. You know what I mean? So,
are we playing any Mario Lanza today?
No. Bummer. Is he related to Lorenzo Lanos?
Yeah, no.
The guy that rode the motorcycle?
I don't think so.
You know who I mean, though?
No,
Lorenzo Lamas.
Was he like
kind of sexy, isn't he?
Was he on chips?
No. I think he was on Coke, though.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Popping chips. No, I'm just... Popping chips. I can't say that. But no, chips. That was the other guy. The other Spaniard. Well, he was like not Mexican, but
he was Latino.
Latino, yeah, there you go.
Spaniard.
Was that an old term for that, or what is that? Spaniard. What is a Spaniard?
A person who's from Spain. That's a dog, isn't it?
Oh, he's got a beautiful Spaniard. He enters it in all the shows.
It's a Spaniel, by the way.
Okay, Cocker. Let's roll along to You Talking to Me and an interview with a music anhedonian, Dave Richey.
It's time for You Talking to Me with your host, Big JD.
Before hearing the heavy and fulfilling music of Black Sabbath, my guest today, Dave Richey, says he couldn't stand music. Well, eventually, he would go on to play with one of Canada's well-known metal bands, Annihilator. And he's also quite an incredible photographer these days. Here to talk to us about his music anhedonia, the inability to experience pleasure from music, and his later appreciation for it. Please welcome Dave Richey to the show. Dave, welcome to You Talking to Me.
Thanks.
It's great to have you on, and we're going to talk to you a little bit about anhedonia, the total dislike of music not able to get any pleasure from music. When you were younger, you say you didn't like music.
No, I couldn't stand it. Usual things that were played on the radio or that my friends seemed to be listening to just didn't appeal to me. I found it quite irritating.
So was it the music itself, or did you find singing or any particular instrument, like at that time, you know, before you got into music, did you find any of that appealing, like on its own?
If I heard, I guess there was some classical music that I found appealing. And also if there was a really heavy guitar in a song, but it was so few and far between at that time, this was back in the '70s, of course, and it was so few and far between that you'd hear a really heavy guitar in a song that, I just didn't find it. You know, like songs like Roxy Roller Road, but as heavy as they got.
Well, that's interesting though, it's interesting though that you say classical music sort of appealed to you, or you were looking for something super heavy and you just didn't find that yet. This was around the time, you say in the 70s, you were just a young teenager, I guess, right?
Yeah, in my teens.
And then what's really interesting about your story, I pretty much had the same story actually, but tell us about when you found the kind of the fathers of heavy metal.
Right. Back in the around 76, I used to hang around in this small town outside of Ottawa. I used to live there, but once we moved out, we used to go back there and use our house like a cottage. And I had a few friends down there, and we always hung out and listened to music and played cards and whatever. And they were always playing Led Zeppelin and all those guys, and none of that really appealed to me. And I don't know, I just never really paid attention. And then there was one day when my friend Tom decided to throw on something a little different, and it was the song Sweet Leaf by Black Sabbath. And upon hearing that, it was like my whole world just opened up. I had no idea that guitars could sound like that or that singers could sing like that. And it just blew my mind. So every day when I'd go over there to their cottage, I would always be bugging Tom, you know, hey, put that song again on, you know, like, I want to hear that again. Not thinking there would even be an entire album involved here or even a music genre. So after a few days of pestering him with that song, he said, well, geez, Dave, you know, if you like that song, you're going to love this one. And he put on the song Iron Man. And it was right there. The sky just pretty well parted. Light came down, and I could hear an angel choir singing. It was like I finally discovered a music that I not only like, but I love, and it was completely what I've been looking for. So come Christmas, of course, the one thing on my mind was that particular album, which happened to be We Sold Our Soul for Rock and Roll, which is a compilation album by Black Sabbath. And it was right around that time when I was given my first bass guitar. So I spent all my waking hours just playing bass along with this album and just played the daylights out of it. And that's kind of how I discovered heavy metal music and how I got involved in music to begin with.
Mine was a similar thing. My parents were, they had like Elvis and Beatles records and stuff like that when we were a kid, you know, yeah. Monkees and Johnny Cash and whatever. But at some point I went to my cousin's, I was just a kid too. I went to my cousin's apartment and across the hall, I heard music that I thought was just the most amazing thing ever. And I didn't know what it was at the time. And I made it my life's mission to find out what it was, right? It was Black Sabbath's first album. And I must've been like maybe 12 years old, something like that. But yeah, the first album, man, and I thought it was the most amazing thing ever. And when I found that, it was no going back either, right?
Yeah.
But I can't say I didn't like music before that, but I just, I guess I obviously wouldn't have been into heavy stuff at the time. But
well, the funny thing is after I discovered all this and all was said and done, and I was on the hunt for new music and stuff, I was going through my mom's 45 collection, and lo and behold, I find a 45 of Paranoid. And she's like, "Oh yeah, I love that song. It's a great song." Are you kidding me?
That's a cool find. Yeah.
When I started growing my hair and wearing studs and leather and all that stuff, yeah, she was all over that stuff. She encouraged me like crazy, so gotta love her for that.
Yeah, that's good. It's a lot of young people don't have that encouragement from their parents, and I had it too, and I was pretty lucky as well.
She not only bought me all my metal shirts and albums and whatever, but even my first real bass, which was my Flying V, which I still have.
Once you discovered metal, and obviously we'll talk a little bit more about what you did after that, did you have an appreciation for other music after that right away, maybe later, not at all?
No, all I wanted to hear was Black Sabbath at that point, but... And yeah, and serious, I couldn't listen to anything else. And that's when I actually found out that Black Sabbath had broken up and Ozzy had just went on his own. It was like going into those years.
Right.
And I immediately fell into that. And it was in high school that I had met a friend of mine named Mike. And he knew I was a big Ozzy fan, but he started to introduce me through cassette tapes into other bands that were in the genre, stuff like Iron Maiden and Judas Priest and all that stuff. And so, yeah, I started really, really getting into the music then. So,
and eventually you became a rather accomplished bass player, and you played for a couple of pretty heavy Canadian bands. Tell us a little bit about those bands.
Well, when I left high school, I spent the next year doing nothing but playing bass in my room, and I spent 6 to 8 hours just playing. And I got rather accomplished, so people in my area started hearing about me. I guess it was a rumor mill, but that I was getting pretty good. And I got contacted by a fellow by the name of Jeff Waters. A lot of people might know him from the band Annihilator. He asked me to come play bass for him. And so I was one of the founding members of Annihilator with him and stuck with him up until just before they put out their first album, which is unfortunate for me, but it's just how it went. You know, there was just creative differences going on and I had to leave the band, which was unfortunate, but you know, he went on to great success and still going at it.
Sure. And a cool story just the same. And you also had a little stint with, Exciter, right?
That was really, really brief. I met John Ricci through, I guess he was advertising, trying to put the band back together again after years of being without Dan Beeler and stuff like that. And so I went down and met up with John, and we had some good jam practices and stuff like that. And he asked me to stick around for a little bit and help him audition other musicians like drummers and such and singers. But he ended up going with a pair of brothers who played bass and drums, so... I ended up not following with that one, so.
Yeah, it's cool, though.
That's just
cool
how it goes.
You're also an accomplished photographer now. Tell us a little bit about that. You do some pretty wild photography.
Well, thank you. It seems, well, after around 2004, after my last band in Toronto, I thought, you know what, I can't do this again. So I retired myself from music, and I always needed some kind of creative outlet. I was into filmmaking and videography. And one thing led to another, and I realized that I could get some really cool effects doing photography. And as my photography improved, my name got around, and people wanted me to take nice pictures of them. So that's what I've been doing ever since, and just loving that. So,
well, that's really cool. I appreciate you taking the time to talk to us on the show today. And also, where can listeners check out your photography?
Well, they can go right on Facebook, Richer World Productions. That's where I keep all my stuff hidden away. And just so everybody knows, I still listen to heavy metal music and nothing but. And most of the stuff that I listen to is all classically based. So that's kind of where that classical influence still came in.
Cool. I appreciate your time. Thanks, Dave.
Yay, no problem.
All right. Well, be sure to check out Richer World Productions on Facebook, and thanks for listening.
Yeah, it's odd. I don't understand how anybody could not like music, or especially going their whole life without liking music or it annoying them. Like, it bothers me to hear music, you know? Like,
right.
I don't know. Is it the drums that goes boom, 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 whatever?
Your mind can't process it. It's like someone who can't read, and you're putting words in front of them, and you got to absorb this, and you're like, no, I don't like this. This isn't fun. It's your brain just has a hard time processing it. Your brain has to process stuff, and usually when people listen to music, it's usually a good thing, and our bodies will do whatever it's got to do, and usually produces, like I say, hormones or dopamines. Mm-hmm. And they make us feel a certain way. Certain music makes us feel a certain way, and there's certain parts of our brain that get activated when we hear music. And depending on what kind of music it is, sometimes we feel romantic, sometimes we feel violent, sometimes we feel like just, you know, having a good time, sometimes...
Yeah, it depends on the kind of music, I guess. And
yeah.
There was an interesting study done recently that happened, they did in the University of Barcelona.
And where's Barcelona?
Spain. Where all the Spaniards are.
Exactly.
The Cockle Spaniards.
Cockles.
Good name for a band. For most people, the mere suggestion that a favorite song fails to evoke an emotional response in another human being sounds preposterous.
That's preposterous.
Sure, that person might not like the... Yeah, you do all the background noises and everything. Sure, that person might not like the song as much as you do, but they'll definitely feel something, right? No, not right. Necessarily, says Josep Marco Palares.
Very Spaniard of you.
Palares. A cognitive neuroscientist at the University of Barcelona and lead author of a new study that explores why some people feel indifferent to music. Music isn't rewarding for them, even though other kinds of rewards like money are, he says. It just doesn't affect them. And to find out why, researchers recruited 30 university students, each of whom had been identified as very sensitive to music.
Oh, I'm so sensitive.
Moderately sensitive or not sensitive at all, thanks to a questionnaire. And researchers also made sure that the study participants weren't depressed, tone deaf, hearing impaired, or otherwise unable to understand music, all factors that would have dampened their pleasure response.
And that would have skewed the results.
And that study was published in Current Biology.
And that's where the results
rather surprising, yeah. The results, right. And although these participants were perfectly capable of perceiving when a tune was sad or happy, they didn't show physical or emotional reaction. They didn't shiver if a singer hit a high note, and their heart rate didn't increase with each crescendo. But when asked to play a game involving a monetary reward, those who were indifferent to music reacted just like everyone else. The thought of winning even a small amount of money was enough to make their hearts race. I don't know how, but can you compare that to? I mean, they're comparing the actual, the I guess like the actual
reaction.
Yeah, but it doesn't seem as like it's so related to music. You know what I mean? Like, I get that people cannot have a response to music.
Right.
But they should be I think the study should be a little bit different than that somehow.
Yeah, there's a lot of studies being done, and this was a weird experiment for them to do.
Specific musical anhedonia. That is the actual term. Psychologists describe a person's inability to derive pleasure from activities that most find enjoyable.
I wonder what that comes from, anhedonia.
We can find that out easily enough. I can tell you right now.
It sounds somewhat Latin, I guess.
Yeah, it's Greek.
Oh, it's Greek.
And
bam.
If you can,
without.
Without. And hedone, pleasure.
Oh, pleasure.
Hedonism. Without pleasure. Yeah.
Oh, I see. Hedonia. So that's the.
Is that Greek as well, then?
Hedonia, yeah.
Because. So there you go. It's all Greek.
So it's Greek, like anti-hedonia.
Yeah.
So they don't get pleasure out of it. And so were these people tormented if their parents didn't have anhedonia? Anhedonia?
And they heard music growing up and that kind of thing?
Yeah, would they?
I don't know if it's really a torture, but it's just
turn
not
that off.
You know, I'm sure there's some people that, they just can't stand it. And that might be some kind of a different psychological thing where oh my God, shut it off. It gives me a headache or, you know what I mean?
Right.
Whereas other people just I don't know, you got it on, but I don't feel anything you can turn it off if you want. I don't care. You know what I mean?
Right.
I think there's a big difference, and that study should have been different. I think I should have been at the helm.
Well, there's tons of them. Tons of experiments going on the effects.
We should do an experiment of some kind on the show.
All right.
I don't know what.
Not particularly to this subject here, but
yeah,
in a future show and something that's along the same lines, I'm in.
Okay. That'd be pretty cool.
Do you want to hit the streets or we do it right here in this room?
Well, I don't know. We could send out an online questionnaire if we need actual participants. But otherwise, we can do it right
Who's
here.
Who's reading that stuff?
I don't know. Well, somebody will for the show.
If they get paid.
Not necessarily.
Monetary rewards for you for participating in our...
My interviewnians don't get paid.
No. That's
but
true.
It's, they must derive pleasure somehow from telling their story.
I think it's just like anything
else. I don't know if it's a pleasure necessarily, but...
I think it might be. You feel like okay, I have this knowledge, and I want people to know that I have this knowledge. I want to share it, and someone's asking me questions. And I have to admit, you're probably one of the better interviewers I've heard anywhere, really.
Well, that's very kind.
Usually ask the questions that people are thinking, but... You know, or they really want to know, but they would never have thought of themselves.
Yeah, I think a lot of people don't ask particular questions. And for me, I've always been very inquisitive. My aunt used to babysit me. Everybody hated me when I was a little kid because it was always why? Yeah, but why? But why? You know what I mean?
Yes.
And I always want to know these, everything, right? So I guess that's where that comes from. But
you don't remember anything they tell you?
No. Who was it that was on the show today?
Bad memory.
Yeah. But that's okay. We like music.
We love music. And music is a very important part of my life. I find that I listen to music all the time. And if I didn't, I would be a very sad little boy.
I listen to music a lot, too. And you know what's funny is when I'm working here, I don't listen to music. Like, I don't have music on constantly. But if I'm out and doing something, or if I'm even writing or doing like a homework or any kind of thing somewhere where there's music on, or a Starbucks or something, I like it. You know what I mean?
I
can't do that right here.
Yeah.
But I know a lot of people like yourself, maybe you get home and you put on music. And it's just
automatic.
On.
When I wake up.
Yeah,
I want to hear a song. I usually wake up with a song in my head and then I'll go ahead and put that song on.
And we both like heavy music.
So let's listen to some Bob Seger and the Bob Seger System off the Smokin' OPs album. It's Heavy Music.
Yeah.
Okay, just before that, we heard Bob Seger's Heavy Music, and while we were listening to the song, since Smokin' OP's is a bunch of covers, the Bob Seger system covered their own song. His own song.
Yeah,
his own song. Before there was the Bob Seger system, there was Bob Seger and The Last Heard.
Right, right.
So he covered his own song. So that's the story behind that ordeal.
Yeah, that's really cool. So next week, so this is what we're going to do. We talked about on the show today doing some kind of an experiment. So what we'll do is we'll see if we can gather information on from non-musicians what instrument they would most want to know how to play.
Yeah, maybe they always had an aspiration to play certain things, but just never got around to it.
Guitar, harmonica, drum, bass, whatever. Yeah, they might like something in particular.
Or, they saw an instrument come into the house and their brother played it and they thought, oh, gee, I would like to play that. But they just never got around to it or never had the time.
Actually, if they could give us the reason why they want to play that one, it would be neat too, because we could talk about that. But then we'll probably pick the one that people would most want to play, which I would almost assume is guitar. But then we'll talk about, all the great musicians that play that particular instrument on the show.
Yeah, we'll just take it from there. Next week.
Yeah.
Go down many a rat hole.
Fly by the seat of our pants, so to speak. And what we will leave you with today, I guess, is another Pleasure and Pain titled song from Bullet for My Valentine. This is from the Fever CD of 2010. Yeah, Pleasure and Pain on Big JD and Lipo in the Morning, and we'll see you next week.
Thanks a lot for listening, everybody. See you next week.
Bye.
Can't survive.
Be sure to join us here next week for more Big JD and Lippo in the Morning. Subscribe to the podcast free in iTunes, and don't forget to like the Big JD and Lippo Facebook page.